a series of different people who will be speaking to us during the course of the programme this morning. And I want to speak to Carl na Cualann from Sinn Féin. Carl na Cualann, good morning.
Imagine my Frank.
This is one of these mornings that we should come to expect here in Northern Ireland, because we seem to stumble from one crisis to another. But to use a Martin O'Mullier term, is there a snowball's chance in hell that we will have a new Deputy First Minister by the early stages of next week?
No, there's not. I mean, Martin made it clear, very clear, and is not only in his letter of resignation, but also even in subsequent interviews, that Sinn Féin would not be nominating the position of Deputy First Minister next week. So that's very clear.
The Irish Foreign Affairs Minister, the Secretary of State, all making themselves available for talks between the DUP and Sinn Féin. Closed ears to all of that?
Well, I mean, Frank, it's very, very clear that this RHI scandal has not only infuriated people, and it has, it's also concerned people, because there's potentially £500 million of public money to be lost as a result of incompetence. And I think, on top of the arrogance of Arlene Foster and indeed the DUP, I don't see how anyone can actually, you know, short of stepping aside, Arlene Foster was asked to step aside without prejudice. She didn't do it. Martin asked her privately. He suggested publicly, and subsequent MLAs and spokespeople have done so. So, I mean, that ship's sailed. We're now into an election when it's called. And that's the way it is.
Yes, but is this, to and certainly to people, taxpayers who may be looking on, this is two parties full of ego and one-upmanship, parties that are putting their own personal interest, their own party interest, before the people of this country?
Well, let me kick that out of the court, Frank. See, first of all, Martin McGuinness, more than any other, has worked harder for these institutions over the last 10 years. I mean, that's recognised right across the political spectrum. He's worked with three DUP leaders. He's reached out to unionists. He's reached out to even political opponents. And his record, in my opinion and in my experience, and indeed others, is beyond reproach. So this isn't about ego. I and other MLAs have a mandate, and our mandate is about being respectful. And I have seen consistent disrespect, particularly around equality issues, but the arrogance around the RHI scandal for many has compounded what was already a very, very difficult situation when it came to a lack of humility, even a lack of contrition from the DUP. So this isn't about ego for us at all. I just think, you know, for that analysis to be brought down to an ego of two big parties is actually missing the public mood, and is not getting to the core of the problem.
The leader of the SDLP says it's down to your weakness, not you personally, but Sinn Féin's weakness.
Well, I mean, he would say that, and I mean, like, the SDLP and others, I mean, I've heard it on different news bulletins this morning, are still calling for, you know, still saying this public inquiry under 2000 Inquiries Act, as they call it, actually is even against their own party policy. Like, for example, they want to use a mechanism that the people who are under investigation and the scrutiny that's required, they want to use that mechanism, and the same people that they're accusing of squandering money will have control over the conclusions. I just don't get that line at all, and I don't think the public do either.
So how do we get to the bottom of RHI then, if you walk away?
Well, I mean, the conditionality, and as you quoted Martin, the conditionality was very, very clear. We need to get to an investigation that will be quick, that will ensure that public confidence is restored, but most of all will protect further misuse and waste of public money.
But we're not going to get that now.
But we weren't going to get it because the conditionality was that Marley needed to step aside.
Yes, but that seems petty to a lot of people who are looking in.
I think you're misjudging what how people feel about this. I think people understand that, you know, in order for any investigation to be triggered off, you need to have the context for it. So who's going to do it? If there's no executive, functioning executive, then who's going to do it? You know, so the conditionality was that Arlene stepped aside and an agreement should have been reached in order for a thorough and robust investigation to commence that passed it on to an independent panel who, independent of everyone, could have done a robust investigation and then come back. And if their findings and their conclusions were that a further investigation or inquiry or whatever it's called, with the powers to compel people and witnesses and further information, then, you know, how's that going to happen? It wasn't going to happen without the DUP agreeing to it, and it wasn't going to happen without us agreeing to the proper conditions. We weren't going to agree to the DUP having an inquiry that would have given them cover, not only in practice, but also politically as well. Why would we agree to that?
So we're now going to go to the polls. We're going to lose about 8 to 10 weeks. We're going to come back. Chances are, if we look at the history of how people vote in this country, you'll both be back in, the DUP and Sinn Féin. Where do we go then?
Well, I'll tell you where we're not going to go. We're not going back to the status quo. And it's not something that people expect us to do. There's been an enormous amount of disrespect, particularly by the DUP, to particularly around equality issues, the Irish language, LGBT, marriage equality, a whole range of issues. And we simply aren't going to tolerate that behaviour.
But is this just a reminder that it doesn't work between you and the DUP? You've got a list of demands that you're going to be presenting to them. We're going to come back. You're not accepting the status quo. So people who are going to, you know, waste a couple of hours on a Thursday to go out to vote, they're not going to be actually enthused by what they're hearing from our politicians this morning.
Well, I heard the same arguments from British politicians and even some of the DUP here over Brexit. And despite that vote and that outcome, I mean, they completely ignored the democratic wishes of people. People need to use their vote, and they need to vote for parties that are actually going to deliver.
Yes, but if we vote for the DUP and Sinn Féin, the chances are you're not going to deliver, because it's probably going to, because of the deadlock there'll be some form of suspension further down the line.
Well, I mean, all this is obviously speculation, but let me say, first of all, that we have acted, Sinn Féin have acted in the interests of all people, and that has been our record. We have championed causes and championed certainly communities that have been insulted by not only the DUP but others. I mean, the British government and the DUP, in our experience, colluded particularly around legacy investigations, legacy inquests. They've also colluded, as I pointed out earlier, on Brexit. So, I mean, both the British and Irish governments are co-signatories, co-terminus around the Good Friday Agreement. There's responsibilities here as well in terms of the British and Irish government. But let me say, a vote for Sinn Féin will not be a wasted vote, because I think that's what you're hinting at, and I would completely refute that.
Well, there are people who would be suggesting that getting the two main parties that we have back in could be time wasted. And those who would support the opposition would be saying, well, maybe it is time for a change.
And that's what this election will be about. But every mandate that we have returned to Sinn Féin, we've been very, very clear and very consistent in what we hope to do and what we hope to achieve. And we've been very honest with people, and people have trusted us with their vote and have returned us, and I would appeal them to do the same thing if an election is called.
And finally, Carol Nicolline, one of the things that was so obvious on the screen last night, when people were watching the screen, watching the Deputy First Minister, they were concerned about his health. How worried are you as a friend and colleague about Mr McGuinness's health?
Well, Martin, I mean, as you can see, as people see themselves, is going through a period of poor health. But here's a testimony of the man who has, and got out of his bed to literally come down here to face the public, to face the media, and Arlene Foster done a selfie in the castle. He's a champion. The difference in characters for me speaks for itself. And I know Martin's inner strength will see him through some very difficult period in terms of his treatment. Martin's surrounded by a lot of good wishes. He's surrounded by a lot of love. And I'm sure others will keep him in their thoughts and prayers.
And he's facing a difficult time at this moment.
And he's still given leadership. And that's a testimony of the Martin McGuinness that I know.
Okay, Carol Nicolaun, thanks for speaking to us this morning. Thank you.